Good morning. This morning's going to be a little bit different because the talk's going to be split. Oh dear, that means you get three sermons. Healing. What happens if you get cut? If you get a little cut on your hand, what happens to it? It does bleed. Yes, it does bleed. And it bleeds for a reason and helps get the impurities out. And then what happens when it bleeds, after it bleeds? What happens next?
It heals.
It heals, yeah. It stops bleeding and then it heals and then you get a scab. And then what happens to the scab?
You pick it up.
There's always one, isn't there? And we trust some people who make those sort of comments when looking after our children. Don't you work in a school as well? It's getting to you, isn't it? It's getting to you. You need the half-term holiday. Right, okay. And if you don't pick it, eventually, what happens to this cab? It comes off and dries up. Yeah. See, our bodies, God has created these amazing bodies, and a lot of things, they heal themselves. And when this has difficulties healing, you go off to the GPs, and you see a doctor or somebody nice like Mandy, and they walk in, you walk into the GP practice, and they say good morning and a happy, cheery smile, even when they've had a horrible day. And seen lots of awkward patients who've got 25 different complaints they want to, you know, all to tell them about in 10 minutes. Oh. And you give them a wonderful medicine or something, or refer them to somebody. And they come back and say, oh, that was wonderful. What you get? Because it helps the body with its healing process. It's magnificent. But you don't always get healing. And so we have these natural processes as well. But today we're going to look at a story in the Bible of a healing. Okay, does God heal today? Last week, Mandy told you a story, those of you in stayed in the main church for the duration. And she told you a story of when we were running camps a little while ago. And a story when we're having a tough time and then God broke through. Some young people, quite a lot of them, many of them tears, came to faith in Jesus. And amongst the and what happens when lots of young people, all children, want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, is normally the leader, in this case me, they come forward and they want to come for a prayer, and I assign them various leaders to talk to them and to pray with them. And amongst all these young people was one lad. He didn't come forward to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. He'd already done that. And he asked for prayer because he had a stomach problem. And I thought, who should I get to pray with him? And I had one of my leaders who probably wasn't maybe as confident. I was quite one of the older leaders, but he wasn't perhaps as confident. And I thought, can you just pray with this lad? Just pray. He's got a bit of a stomach problem. Just pray with him. And so he took him off. He was the sports leader. And he took him to inside the tent there. So we had all these people praying around the tent because we always do it in public. And he prayed for this lad. And instantly, the stomach problem stopped. And then we discovered this lad had seen various doctors and GPs, and this problem had been going on for 2 years, and God had healed him. Now, when it comes to healing, and instant healing, amazing, I don't have too much experience of it. Sometimes we joke, probably wrongly, that every time I pray for something, they get worse. But there's one occasion when I was in healing, I had a couple, and mainly the husband, he came to me and said, I've got a problem. We're going away. I think they were going away to a wedding. Been to the doctors, been in the hospital, and they don't know what's going on. And he had a sort of paralysis or a numbness down one side of his face. And it just wasn't getting better, and they didn't know what to do. Can we come and see you? And so this couple came and sat in our living room. Mandy, I don't know where Mandy was at that stage, so normally she would be there as well. But so they came and sat in our living room. And we were living in the church manse at that stage. And so I put a hand on him, and I prayed for him. And I prayed, and it didn't get better. And then that evening, they'd gone away. They'd gone somewhere in the north of England, and I felt God prompting me to say, ring him up, and see what he's doing, see what's happening. And I rang him up, and I talked to him. They said, no, it's not got any better. And I rang him up and prayed with him. And from that moment on, God healed him. God heals today. Because sometimes when God speaks, it's a bit scary. And you think, no, is God really saying that? Does God want me to do this? Because if you're anything like me, and God does things that are a bit out of the ordinary, you think, no, he's not really saying that, is he? No. And things like healing, you think, oh, that's right for those folks off in America or the middle of Africa, and you will leave it to them. Well, ordinary, some of it is bravado, and you're not sure, and we're probably right to be a bit sceptical sometimes. Here's a question, who can pray?
Anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone. I saw a post yesterday. It's from on Mandy's side of the family, his nephew and his wife. They run a church, or pastor a church, and they've just set up a children's prayer team, a prayer ministry team. Yeah. These are all pre-teens. Children can pray. Did you know that? Yes. That means everyone can pray. If you've got Jesus in your life, you can pray. Sometimes we think praying, that's for people who are old and experienced and got degrees and all that sort of stuff. Nope. That's for everyone. All of us can pray. We can pray for one another. You don't need any special skills to pray. All right? If you forget everything else this morning, you can pray for someone. If someone's ill, someone's sick, someone's got a problem, you can pray. You and I, every single one of us can pray. Everyone can pray. Best answer of the day, all right? Everyone can pray. Okay. So, Peter and John, they heal this man. Fantastic. And of course, the crowd are gathered. And they listen. And Peter and John, what happens? They find themselves in jail. Why? Because they start teaching. They start talking about Jesus. The people, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the leaders, they listened. And they were disturbed because the apostles, in verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 2 says, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized Peter and John, because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. And then the next day, they came up with a bit of a mock trial, and read through the next few verses. But then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said that in verse 8, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved. Verse 13, then they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. And then they realized they had no leg to stand on. They realized he'd been healed, and they realized they had a problem. They did not like the teaching. They did not like the fact that Jesus had been risen from the dead. It went against their teaching. And after all, they were responsible for having Jesus killed. Jesus had been sealed in a tomb. They put a guard on the gate, on the tomb door, and Jesus still got out. Jesus had risen from the dead, and they did not like it. It went against the grain. This was a problem. And they were speaking in his name. And it made them feel really uncomfortable. And it was difficult and awkward for them. And Peter and John were bold. They stood up for Jesus. And they carried on teaching the crowd. What was the message? The message was simple. Jesus died. Jesus died. They kept on teaching about Jesus. Jesus was also resurrected. Jesus rose from the dead. Isn't that fantastic? Three of you agree. Brilliant. Right. Okay, by the time we finish the end of the service, you'll all agree. Fantastic. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus lives. Great. You are listening. Wonderful. Maybe it's just me. I've sent you to sleep. Right. The people responded. They responded in faith. They believed that Jesus rose from the dead. Lots of people. And they repented. That's the message, was to turn away from their sins, to turn to Jesus Christ. That was the response that Peter and John got. Okay. They shared the good news. They shared the gospel. You're going to get... you won't get tired. You can never get tired of this message. Because all the way through Acts, all these chapters in Acts, so over the next few months, we're going to keep telling you about this. Because that's what it's all about. It's sharing the good news of Jesus. All these chapters, with a possible exception of those, in chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is being forecast, he's coming, and Jesus is preparing the way. Yeah, Holy Spirit is going to come. And they were waiting. They were in the upper room waiting. Chapter 12, that's only because Peter was in prison waiting to get out. And chapter 25, and that's a trial. And so we just have a discourse of the trial. All the rest of the time, they're out sharing the good news. That's what the Acts is about. Oh, and the work of the Holy Spirit in helping them share the good news. Fantastic book. I'm glad we're doing it in the Acts. It's brilliant. Hopefully you all get excited as well. Some of you excited? Great. Six people. By the end, you'll all be excited and thrilled about the Acts. Massive growth. I say put five questions on the fight. It says 5,000 men. It doesn't say whether it's 5,000 men plus all the children as well, or just 5,000 men. Was it 5,000? Who cares? It was lots. And the Acts had only just begun. How many became Christians at Pentecost? 3,000. Two people listened to Mandy's sermon. Why didn't more of you listen to Mandy's sermon last week? It's brilliant, so I understand. Right, okay. Massive growth. Okay. Really beginning to grow. There were healings. You'll hear other healings throughout the book of Acts. And there were boldness. They risked imprisonment. They risked, and later on, as we go through Acts, they risked death as well. How? How come this came about? How did it happen? Let me tell you. They were unschooled. They were unschooled. They weren't educated people. We have this idea, I can't do anything because I'm not clever. Hey, verse, they were unschooled. They weren't academics. Mostly they were fishermen. They didn't have a great education. And far too often Christians say, I can't do very much. I've not been to Bible college or anything like that. I read this week. I heard this week. This guy is R.T. Kendall. He's actually now 90. He's a guy with multiple degrees, including, I think, at least two doctorates. So he should know what he's talking about. And he was asked, what would you say to young pastors? He said, don't worry about going to seminary or Bible college or anything like that. What would you recommend? And he said, this is what I recommend to young pastors, or to any Christian for that matter. Know your Bible and pray a lot. Know your Bible and pray a lot. And that's true for every single person in this room. And whether you're young and whether you're old, know your Bible and pray a lot. Hey, what are you doing about knowing your Bible and praying a lot? All of us. Don't put yourself down because you haven't been a Christian a long time or haven't been to college and all the rest of it. These were unschooled. They didn't have the advantage of an education. They were humble fishermen. And they weren't old either. Most of them were between the ages of 15 and 25. We get pictures, don't we, of these bearded, old, sage-like gentlemen. Nope. They were young. Some of them weren't even old enough to grow a beard. Oh. So we've got the advantage on them. unschooled. They could do it. They could do it. What about you and me? Know Jesus. The disciples, they knew Jesus. Peter was able to talk about Jesus because he spent time with Jesus. We can know Jesus because spend time with him. Read his word. Know Jesus. Know Jesus. It's simple. Know Jesus. Some of the most effective people at sharing Jesus, like Peter and John did, are new Christians. People who've been Christians a short period of time because they've come to know Jesus. I have a friend in the Midlands, and he had a lady in his church. She says, I want to run a small group. And he said, okay. Do you know how long she'd been a Christian? Because, she wanted to get all her new friends in this group, her non-Christian friends. Do you know how long she'd been a Christian? 3 weeks. Because she wanted to win them for Jesus. She wanted to share the good news with her friends. She'd been a Christian 3 weeks, and some of us been Christian for decades. Because she knows Jesus. Know Jesus. And children are often really, really good at sharing Jesus. And if you've become a Christian and you're only 5, 6, 7, or 8, you could be just as good as people who are 60, 70, and 80. Probably better, actually. Mm. Ooh, that makes you think, doesn't it? Yeah. And who did they heal in? Who did they do the healings in? Who did they talk about? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me or you. It's about Jesus. And that's what the Sadducees and the other leaders were worried about, because it's all about Jesus. Okay, now I've got something else. Here is one of my favourite tools. It is legal. Right, okay. Anyone like to hold this? Yeah, come on, your little brother's beating you to it. It's only a drill, it's an SDS drill. Okay, right. Okay, can you hold it? Right. Can you press that trigger? You see the yellow one? Go press the trigger. Oh, okay. Why is it not working?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's not plugged in.
Ah, right, okay. So what's missing?
Power.
Power, right. Okay. Right, now what we're going to do is I want you to faithfully not press the trigger until I come back to you, all right?
Okay.
Is that true? Please don't do that. Right, okay. I'm going to plug it in. Right, so let me hold that with you. Right, so you can carry on. Right, you can press the trigger. I'm going to hold the other. Right. Okay, so let go now. Okay, so what was the big difference?
It actually works,
yeah. The difference, right, wonderful. Thank you. You give him a round of applause. Hey, wonderful. The difference is about this drill. If I tried to do it without power, I couldn't make a hole with it. Well, you could. It would take forever just banging at it. This drill, if I put it up against the wall, it would go straight through. Could try it, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Perhaps I won't. One or two people might get upset. The difference, power. Power. The difference between the disciples who were afraid and ran away and who had the boldness, willingness to face jail, to stand up and to share the name of Jesus and to be able to heal the cripple, wasn't the fact that how good or how clever or how wonderful they were. It was the power. Where did that power come from? Wasn't electricity. Power on Jesus, power in the name of Jesus, or power from who? The Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. And some of us think, well, I can't do this and I can't do that for God. No, you can't. No, you can't. Except with what or with who? With the Holy Spirit. And we can do amazing things with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? And so often we put ourselves down and think, we'll never achieve anything or never do anything for God. Except we forget. God doesn't want us to do things on our own. He doesn't want us to do things in our own strength. And as we look through the Acts, which sometimes is usually called the Acts of the Apostles, but really it isn't the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, we can do anything. Yet we need to know Jesus, and we need to pray a lot, But we need to know the power of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter whether you're just 6 years of age or 60 plus, like some of us, or 70 or 80, or even 90, actually. I keep looking around. We still need the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter how many degrees we've got, or whether we've not got anything, or whether we've just got reception education, or primary education, or whatever level. It doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat. We still need the Holy Spirit. Each of us needs the same. What about you? What about me? Do we have that boldness? How much more do we need of the Holy Spirit? Normally we end upbeat and lived in. Today we're going to end quietly. We're just going to end quietly. I'm going to pray. And after the service, we're going to leave opportunity for you to come and receive prayer from Florin. Will find somewhere to... There's no room for Florin to sit and pray. Florin will find... Just go and find him out. But you could ask somebody next to you on the table. Can you pray for me? They don't have to be old. Maybe better if it's somebody who's not old. You can ask for anyone. Can you pray for me? I've got a problem. I've got a need. Or pray for me to have boldness. It's free and easy. Maybe you think, hey, if these disciples are that brave, the message was that important, I want to come and know more. Florin will be particularly keen to talk to you about that. Come and talk to them. We don't mind. We don't mind what you want prayer for. But please, you do come and talk to us. And the rest, if you're not doing it, if you're not coming forward for prayer or praying for somebody, then the few that are left, you know, you try and muck in and just clean up all the rest. That'd be really appreciated. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll finish with a blessing, and then we'll quietly pack away, and then those who need prayer, you come forward for prayer. And I just want us just to pause and just be quiet for a moment or two, and then I'll pray, and then I'll close with a blessing. Father God, we've looked at the example of Peter and John, people who were just all very ordinary, unschooled. People who you probably would just pass in the street and not take any notice of. Young, unschooled men. And Lord, as we think of their example, thank you that they allowed, as they got to know Jesus, and they allowed him to have control and allowed the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, they were able to do amazing things. And they were able to heal that lame beggar. And they were able to preach Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death and his resurrection. And Father, I pray now for anyone who is yet to find Jesus. Lord, speak by your Holy Spirit now, even in this very moment in this room. Speak to those who yet to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour of their life. Lord, for each of us, Lord, just move among us by your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your power. Fill us with a hunger to know you more. Desire to read and learn your word. Desire to pray more. With an appetite to engage with you day by day. Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, especially for our children and young people. Lord, the school is a tough place at times, probably even most of the time. But it's also a wonderful place to be able to share Jesus. Lord, the fields are white and to harvest. Lord, empower your children by your Spirit, we pray, Lord, as well as those of us who are older. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon this, your church, upon your people. Lord, we get excited about what you're doing in this church. And Lord, the phrase is, you ain't seen nothing yet. And Lord, we pray that may be a reality over Addleston Baptist Church. Lord, give wisdom to Florin, we pray, as he leads this a company of your people. By your Spirit, we ask. And now let's close with a powerful blessing. And to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all the people said, Amen.